Daf Mem Beis, and we're right at the top at the Helik Mishnah. Zakr Helik Mishnah. Hamudar Hana'ami Chaviro Lifnei Shavi'in. Someone who makes a neder asring his friend from being nehene, or asring himself from being nehene from his friend before Shavi'in, the one who is asr eno yore letoch sadehu. So he now who asked this way can't go down now, or that friend can't go down into his field. Which seems rather obvious. But, obviously, you can't eat the other person's perot, even if they're hanging over the edge of the field that you can reach without going into the field. Doesn't seem to be much chiddush in this, but we'll see in a moment that perhaps there is. If you're neider in Shvi'it, then eno yored letoch sadehu. Avalochelu min hanotot. So if the neder was made in Shemitah, so then you still can't go into his field, which is certainly a chiddush, because I mean, you would think the Torah was mafkir, the rights to go into the field, since it allowed you to go and collect the perot. No, you can't even go into the field. That's certainly a chiddush. And he can eat min hanotot. You're allowed to eat the perot that are hanging over the edge, where you don't have to go into his field. Now it turns out that indeed there is a chiddush in the Reisha. Because what the Reisha is saying is that if you made the Isra Hana'ah before Shvi'as, so in that case, even during Shvi'as, you would still be osur to eat min hanotot. It's only if you made the neder during Shvi'as, when at the time that you made the neder, it was not in your rishos. So you can't ask or perot that the Torah was mafkir on somebody else. You can ask or perot Shvi'as on somebody. But the big chiddush then in the ratio would be that even though they left your rishos, you could still ask them. So since at the time that you made the neder, they were in your rishos, they remain asr on that person, even after the yotzim rishos. Nadar hemenu ma'akal lifnei shvi'it. If the neder was only an isra of achila, so then there's no problem of going into his field. Yoreda toch sadehu ve'eno ochel mena perot. And then in Shvi'is it could be both yored, if he made the neder in Shvi'is, I would assume, he could be both yored and ochel. All
right. There's an advantage that I have because I can access the perot Shvi'is by going into your field.
An advantage of what? When you're saying advantage, who is I have an advantage?
In the ratio, the person who has become usher.
Yeah.
If he would take the fact that he can reach that food of Shvi'as by walking through the field, that is the unknown. That he can't do. Even though the
no. Wrong. No. 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 It's an enigma at this point. The Gemara will explain it only at the end. Why in the world you're not allowed to go down into his rishos? But that certainly is a chiddush, whatever the reason is. We don't have to worry about it right now. So now turns out that things are not as simple as they seem. Rav Shmuel d'Amar Tavayu, nechasim elu alecha. Let us keep the girsa as it appears here. This is the way the Ron explains the whole sugya. When somebody asers these particular nechasim on a person, and he makes that neder lifnei shvi'it, so then eino yored letoch sadehu ve'eino ochel min hanotot af al pi shehigia shvi'it. That seems to be exactly the same way that we've explained the Mishnah. Everything's fine, even though Shemitah came and the perot have left your rishut, since they were in your rishut at the time that you made the neder, that neder is chal even after the Torah's mafkir the perot, because now it's no longer nogia hefkir. V'im b'shvi'it nadar. However, this is the safe of the Mishnah. If the neder takes place during Shvi'as, in which case the perot are not yours to be oser, ein yored letoch sadehu, so then the field you can't go into. Why? We don't know, because l'chora you have the rights to go into the field as hefker. But ein yored letoch sadehu, aval ochel min hanotot. As long as there's no drisat ha-regel, there's no problem, and you can eat from the trees, from the fruits that are hanging over the edge. This is how we explain the Mishnah. The problem is that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish da Amrit Avayim, at this point we believe that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish are coming to explain the Mishnah. And they're arguing on Rav and Shmuel. So what they say is, the way you read the Mishnah is wrong. Actually, the case of the Mishnah is talking about where you make the neder before Shvias, and Bishvias means when Shvias arrives. It doesn't mean you made another neder. When Shvias arrives, the perot become mutar. And you can ochel even from the notot, despite the fact that when I made the neder before Shvias, it was in my reshut. So therefore, they say, Nechasai alecha lifnei Shvias en yorei datot sadeh v'en ochel min anotot. So what's the chiddush? None whatsoever. In other words, according to Rav and Shmuel, there's a chiddush. The chiddush is that even though it comes Shvias, I still can't, nothing changes. According to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, the Mishnah is talking about one case. Before Shvias, this is the case. After Shvias, this is the case. And why bother mentioning before Shvias, this is the case? Only as the contrast after Shvias. In other words, what it's saying is, even though when the neder was chal, it asered the peirot hanotot, obviously, because at that point it was yours. Nonetheless, the moment Shvias comes, those very same peirot that were asered yesterday, today become mut. So there's no particular chiddush in the Reisha, it's just there to contrast the Sefer. So according to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, there are no two different cases. It's one case, what is the din of the Pirot before Shemitah? What is the din of the Pirot after Shemitah? Again, this doesn't hold up in the end, but it's what we think is happening now. Higia Shviit, once Shviit comes, Eino Yoreta Tok Sadeo, Avalochelo Et Anotot. So on the surface, the machlokas is very clear. In other words, Rav and Shmuel are saying that a person, when he asks something that is in his reshut, even after it leaves his reshut, it remains asur. So when Shviyas comes, it remains asur. It's only if you actually made the neder during Shviyas that then you cannot ask the perot. The chiddush in the last part would be that even though the field is not yours, nonetheless the other person can't walk into the field either. Why? We don't know yet. So according to Rav and Shmuel, there's a chiddush both in the Reisha and in the Sefer. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there's only one case in the Mishnah. One neder that was made before Shvias, the Reisha is talking about while it was in his Rishos, the Sefer is talking about after it's his Rishos. There's no particular chiddush in the Reisha, but it's a nice contrast to the Sefer. So we say the Reisha up to the Sefer. They're arguing in whether Lema Ba'akam Iflage. Rav and Shmuel Savri Adamo said, so Rav and Shmuel are saying, look, unless you made the neder during Shemitah when the perot already left your rishus, in which case obviously you can't ask, I can't ask your peros on you. So how can I ask the peros Shemitah on you? They're not mine to ask, they're yours. So there obviously I can't ask the perot on you. Why even bother telling me such a case? Because there's a chiddush in it about not going into the field. But that's still true. Even though, obviously, that has nothing to do with Nedarim, that's a din in Hilchos Shemitah, that I wouldn't be, but certainly the way that we get to it is through Nedarim, and the main Mishnah is talking about Nedarim, and the Chiddush is Adam Oseh, Dover Sheh, Akash, Yetzim, Rishur. Says, okay, so we mention it here. According to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, says the Gemara, they apparently hold Savri, in Adam Oseh, Dover Sheh, Rishuto, Likashi, Yetzim, Rishuto. They hold that a person cannot answer something, even though it's his, now, he can't answer it for when it isn't his. So if I say, my perot are asur, and 2 days from now comes Shemitah, and now these perot become mutu, for you to come, and to eat, take them. At that point, it's no longer mine to answer. I could sit there and scream and yell and say, sorry, sir, these are not yours. The Torah gave me the rights to come and eat these vegetables here, and that's exactly what I intend to do. So Mamela, that seems to be the machlokas. Says the Gemara, how can you think that's the machlokas? The Tizba. You're trying to tell me that somebody here is explaining the Mishnah in such a way that it's teaching us that a person cannot ask for something if it goes out of his rishos. I mean, if you think that's true, so then could you explain to me why we have the absurd example of such a case that Dafka, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, who are coming to teach me, should say it in a case where a guy says, Nechasai? Look at their language. Nechasai alecha. Isn't that a little ridiculous? Because if a person says nechasai alecha, the implication would be that I only intend to answer these things so long as they are mine. It has nothing to do with whether I could answer them if they're not mine. I'm saying while they are mine. That's what I'm telling you. We'll see later on that that's very significant, the language. Because if I answer something on you, or on myself, I say, it's your house. And I say, be damned if I ever walk into your house. The moment the guy sells the house, I can walk into the house, because it's not your house. Right? And that's even though there may be considerations that have nothing to do with the guy. In other words, maybe I think the house is haunted. Maybe I think there's aliens that keep chasing me from that house, you know? And afal pi kein, we still assume that what it means is your house so long as it's yours. Koshkin over here, where all I want to do is make sure you don't get any hanok from me. I don't want you in my car. Obviously, if I sell my car, what do I care if you sit in that car? That's irrelevant to me. So if I'm trying to show you a halacha, that if I want to answer something on you, while it isn't mine, isn't this the stupidest case for me to take? What I should take is a case of nechasim elu, where I attempt to ask you on these nechasim. I don't mention me. They happen to be mine. You're telling me even if I say nechasim elu and I'm doing my best to answer it on you, so it's as if I said forever, whether I own them or I don't own them. Nonetheless, when Shemitah comes, boom, he's allowed to eat them. I mean, that's how to say that Kiddush. To come and to try to say that Kiddush with Nechasai is a little stupid. So then what's the Kiddush? Nechasai would be true even if I could ask for something that is not mine, correct? So this cannot be the entire focus of the Machlokas over here between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish on the one hand, and Rav and Shmuel on the other, because then they're using absolutely the wrong example. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. That's first of all. I mean, that's just a language issue. Besides which, I have also a problem with your assumption that there would be some shita that holds that it's impossible to answer something that is currently mine, even though it leaves my rishos. Furthermore, it says the Gemara, but too. Hatznan, we happen to have a Mishnah Mifureshet. The Adam Oser Davar Birshe Birshoto Lekishiyetzem Rishoto. A person does have the ability to answer something that is currently in his Rishut, even for such time as it will be Yotzei Mirishuto. Ditznan. Ha'omer Livno. Somebody who says to his son, Konim Sha'ata Nehne Li. I don't want you enjoying anything that belongs to me. Mate, when that father dies, Yirashana, the son gets to inherit him and use the property like any other normal son. Because at that point, it's no longer his father's, it's his.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait to die to hear that. The Chayav Ubamoto. And when he says to him, to his son, in my lifetime or after my death, so then he made lo yirashenu, which obviously doesn't mean literally lo yirashenu. You can't prevent the guy from being yoresh, but you can prevent him from being nene from his yerusha. It belongs to him, he's not allowed to eat it, he's not allowed to be nene from. Okay, but the point is that it says here b'feirush in the Mishnah that it is definitely possible to answer something that goes out of your rishas. Okay, says the Gemara, fine, I mean, that's true. Shineach deka amale b'chayav v'moto. Maybe we were wrong before, okay? Maybe we went a little bit too far. Maybe we said that the issue is over here, I'm talking about whether you can or cannot answer something. You can. We were wrong. In other words, theoretically speaking, you can, but you'd have to say b'feirush, b'chayav uvamoto. So you'll say, so now, what about the case of the Mishnah? The chiddush of the Mishnah is that when you just say, nechasim elu, that it doesn't mean that. Even though you said nechasim elu, it still means while it's in my rishus.
To extend, you have to express it.
And to extend, you'd have to express it, exactly. So therefore...
So I could ask a pair of shvius if I would have said so?
I could theoretically, but gufa, the chiddush over here is that without being mefarish your lashon in that fashion, it remains usher only during Shemitah. That would be the chiddush according to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish.
Even though it's not mine, I can usher it on somebody else.
Yes, that... No, that's true. As long as it didn't go into rishus of a third party in between. Remember, we had that thing about the kishi yipateh, all of those cases. Okay.
But it's hefker.
That's true. But whatever iser was created on the thing remains usser, even though it's hefker. It's like if it was chazer, it would be usser, even though it's hefker. No, so it became usher now. Once it became usher, even it's alakashi atamishus, so it has a neder on it. So that neder creates an iser, perhaps even a meila and so on. Yes,
did
sir.
You say it's hefker to the except for those rights which I retain no. myself.
No, you retain no rights.
Okay.
No,
you retain less.
Right, but when
you retain no rights in death, nonetheless, the neder is gone. So therefore, we'd have to learn that maybe that goof is the chiddush. That's sort of a weak approach to the Mishnah. It holds together. In other words, we'll continue our fantasy that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are talking about the Mishnah. They're arguing with Rav and Shmuel about how to be mefarish the Mishnah. And they're saying that the Mishnah's talking, since it didn't say ben b'shmita ben le'achar shmita, so the guy only asked it during Shvias, and therefore Bishvias, according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, as soon as Shvias comes, it becomes Mutar Ba'anah, and now that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, and there's the ancillary Chiddush, that Knisa, the Sadeyu, remains Osir even during Shemitah. For that alone, I wouldn't have said the Mishnah, because it doesn't belong here in the Dorim, but put the two together, and it makes sense to say this Mishnah here in the Dorim. Okay, but you didn't answer the first question. My first question, which you haven't addressed at all, my first question was, why are you using the language of Nechasai when that is the whole point? Obviously, the guy said Nechasai. The whole Kiddush is, he said Nechasim Elu and Afal Pikein. It means Nechasim Elu only while they are still in my Rishus, right? I mean, why not say that? So therefore, you're still going to have to change the way you're explaining this. Mikomakom kasha, what did it do with my first question? Therefore, okay, we change our mind. Let's start over again. Benechasim elu, kule amalo plige. Ki plige benechasai. Maybe the point over here is that the machlokas is dafka in the case of nechasai. In other words, Rav and Shmuel are saying that I don't care how you put it. Loshna nechasim elu, loshna nechasai, adam oser. Come along, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and they say, now look, you've got it all wrong, Rav and Shmuel. It depends how it's said. Nechasim elu, adam oser. Nechasai, ein adam oser. So in other words, the machlokas over here only revolves around the way that Rav and Shmuel said things. So Rav and Shmuel said, even Nechasai, Adamo said davar sheno shelo, after it's Yotzim Rishua, so as long as at that time. And he didn't mean to say, Dafka while it's mine. When you say this, will see Beferish. No, let's wait till we see it, actually, instead of discussing. So that's the Machlokas. How could that be, says the Gemara? Mi'ika l'man di'amar loshna nechasim elu loshna nechasai. It's impossible that they would have held that. The Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were responding to the implication in Rav and Shmuel that it makes no difference how you phrase it. That even if you say Nechasai, you don't mean Nechasai, you mean Elu.
So not general, but specific.
That when you say Nechasai, the Pashto is Nechasai is so long as they are mine. It's not a question of general or specific. It's a question of possession. So if you're using the possessive, Nechasai, you don't mean the possessive, you're just using it as an identifier. That's what they're claiming. It's impossible, says the Gemara. That's a Peferish Mishnah that says the opposite. Me, Igal Aman, Yaman, Lo Shnan Nechasim, Eilu Lo Shnan Nechasai. There's nobody who could possibly say that the use of the possessive is meaningless in defining the netter. Because it's a Peferish Mishnah. But it's not. Ha'omer, we're going to get to this very soon. Ha'omer lechaveiro. Konem l'toch beitcha sh'ani nichnas. So I'm not walking into your house, you understand? So your house is usur on me to walk into. Satcha sh'ani lochav, we'll never buy that field. So then, but he didn't say that field, he said your field. So then, mate, if the owner, current owner dies, or somebody else buys it, so then it becomes what? But if he says that house, I'm never going to walk into that house. I'm never going to buy that field. So does it, or buy it, Zen. So what are you telling me? The possessive doesn't matter. Obviously it matters. Matters very much. That's even in a case, I mean, it's a kavachomer. Even in a case where you could say that my hakpada is my belief that that house is haunted. In other words, somebody just bought a house where the previous five owners have been driven out by ghosts. So you say to that guy, well, I'll be damned if I ever walk into your house, where it certainly is reasonable to say that that's because I don't like haunted houses. Afal pi kein, if I say yours, I mean, as so long as it's yours. Kol shekein, in a case where I'm answering my nechosim on you, that my intent is I don't want you to be nenef from me. Certainly if I sell my car to somebody else, what do I care if you buy the car, somebody else buys the car, it's not convenient. So for sure, how can Rav and Shmuel actually be thought to have said that it makes no difference if you use the possessive when you're answering something to somebody? It's ridiculous. Therefore, this is an insupportable way of reading the Machlokes. Can't mean that. You know what? We got to change the whole thing. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish weren't talking about the Mishnah at all. In other words, they didn't come over here to argue in the Pirush of the Mishnah. Ki Amre Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish b'nechasai, and Ki Amre Rav and Shmuel b'nechasim elu. V'lo pligi. Now, the truth is, the Ron's gears over here is slightly different, and his gears is nechasai elu, which, of course, seems to change everything. And the chiddush would be, the question over here is, if you say nechasai, which is the possessive, but you also identify them as elu. So these nechasim, that could be understood as these nechasim, which are currently mine, so then the possessive becomes an identifier. And that's exactly what it's talking about over here. And as Rav and Shmuel learn, the Mishnah is talking about, you said nechasai elu. And the Ron says, even if you have the gears of nechasim elu, it's the same thing. That's not the point. Because once you say elu, the word elu means that these are going to be usur even after Shvias comes. And that means that the chiddush of the Mishnah in the Reisha is, as we explained it, namely, that they will remain usur after Shvias, and that it's only if a neder was made during Shvias that that wouldn't be true. And Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree 100%. That's certainly true. In the Mishnah, that is certainly true. However, they're coming to tell me that don't make the mistake of thinking that that would be the case, even if you would say now, nechasai. And the reason would be that it has nothing to do with intent. It has to do with the reality of once something becomes usur as a neder, it never becomes not usur as a neder. I just want to clarify one very important thing to you, say Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, that in the event that you did say nechasai, but didn't say the word elu, this would not be the halacha. And then the halacha would be that when Shemitah comes along, you are mutter in those perot, because the guy said nechasai, and they're no longer nechasav. And that would change everything. So the way to understand the Mishnah is the way Rav and Shmuel said, but don't let us not have any misunderstanding. It was the word elu that changed everything. And you better remember that. There is no halacha that once something becomes usur with a neder, the isur can't just disappear. When it's not yours, if it was defined as being usur only so long as in the chasai, then it's not going to be usur anyway. That's all. We just want to make that clear. So the Mishnah's got to be talking about Nefasai Elul. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish take another case to contrast with the Mishnah and say, but if we would have said Nefasai, then the halacha would have been that in Shemitah would have been Mutter. But we certainly agree with the primary explanation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a case where you said Nefasai Elul, and the Kiddush is in the Reisha, that since you said Elul, the fruit will remain also even during Shemitah. And in the Sefer, there are two Kiddushim. First of all, that you... No, in the Sefer, where you say it, it'd be during Shemitah, the way Rav and Shmuel, then the Kiddush is that you can't go into the field. Only that Kiddush. Okay. Asks the Gemara now, why is that true? Which we've been wondering about all along. Why in the world can't you go into the guy's field? B'shvi'it ein yoreid v'tok sadeo, but why? You said you can eat from the perot that are hanging over the edge, as long as you don't go into his field. But you cannot eat from his field. Go into his field. Why? I mean, aranami afkari. Obviously, if the Torah gave you rights to take another person's fruit off his trees, the Torah's not telling you you must take a helicopter in and use a grappling hook to get the perot. It's giving you rights of entry to get those perot. I mean, not that the land itself obviously isn't hefker, but the right to walk into the land is no longer in the hands of the Bible. He can't close up his field. So you're not being nana from him. So what's the problem? Omar Ula, the omdim ilanot ala gvulim. What it's talking about is where the trees are along the edge of the field. Therefore, you could, if you brought a ladder, you could stand at the edge of the field and you can use a hook to grab the tree, to grab the peyrot. The Torah didn't give you rights of entry into a person's field where that's not necessary, because it wasn't being mopped to the land. It was just saying you have a right to take those peyrot. So where did you get the right to take those peyrot? By walking into his field. If you don't have to, then don't. So therefore, the Mishnah is coming to tell me that even though you have a right to the perot that are hanging over the edge into the other field, and that you could take off, you can't walk into his field to take perot that you could have gotten by standing outside of the field. That's the finish.
That's for everybody, correct? Even people that were...
No, but normally wouldn't be makpid. But over here, since he's asr b'hana'ah, it's not for everybody. That's the safe of the safe of the Mishnah. That if he only asr it b'achila, then he could go in. Why? Because we already said the question of Vitor. So Vitor is also Bisra'ano, we'd be going to leave it over the answer, like we earlier established. So that's the Chiddush. Whereas Reb Shimon ben Eliakim, this is the same Reb Shimon ben Eliakim we had before, Kediyomer Reb Shimon ben Eliakim, that we're afraid, Gzeira Shema Yesheba Amida. When we're talking about Bikur Cholim, we said just like he says, we're afraid you're going to stay in the field too long. So you're gonna take the pears down and then you're gonna stop for a cigarette break. At that point you're over on standing in his rishon. So but there's tree satarego, it's vitor is awesome. Torah didn't give you right to smoke cigarettes in the guy's field. Maybe it didn't give you right to smoke cigarettes at all.
Can you consider your field against everybody? And then just they can't go in for the pears?
Not on trees, you can't.
So before.
Before, not everybody, and no one could go into it on Shmiz.
The same way you can ask your parish Shmiz, if you ask it before, yeah? So, therefore, the Chiddush is, remember we said before, for the Bikur Cholim, we're afraid you're going to sit too long. So just like he said, maybe you'll stand too long, over here maybe you'll sit too long. And he said, the obvious question is, and why is standing mutter? If he's ready to say, maybe he'll stand too long, and the guy's field having a cigarette, so if you come in to do Bikur Cholim, maybe he'll stand too long too? Why don't we answer it there? Because there the derech is, when you come in to be Mavakur Cholim, the derech is to sit. So if we're forcing you to stand, you're going to remember, I'm only here to be Mavakur Cholim, I'm not allowed to do anything else. So you have a hecker, and you're going to walk out quickly. Masha Ein Kein, when you walk into a guy's field, most people, we're not talking about the ones who maybe fall asleep in Bafyomi, but most people stand while they're collecting field fruit from a tree.
Quickly.
No, that's not the point. They don't come in supine position with a little hook and yawn and pull the fruit out. opening their mouths wide while the oranges pile in. That's not the image.
That's leaving theirs also.
That's actually the beginning of the Quran.
No, maybe if you're a believer. Okay, so therefore there's no hecker. You're standing there, you're collecting fruit. So you figure, okay, why shouldn't I have a cigarette while I'm at it? I'll take a little break. And at that point, you're already trespassing on a person who's Asur Ba'an Adi. Yes, you could.
Right.
He'll be a very popular guy, but he could do it. No, sure. Yeah, the whole world is Asur Ba'an Adi. That we had before, machlokas, whether there's me'ila, if you get hana'ah from it, if you asr to the universalists, or in your case, according to Rabbi Meir, there's an isr me'ila, machlokas rishonim, whether it's an isr of lo yachel devaro, even on the person who didn't make the neder, there was machlokas the Rambam.
There's no bezdin consequences. It might be.
Yeah. There might be a chiyuv malchus on if you hold lo yachal tomorrow. It's like eating something not kosher. Yeah. If you hold it around, it'd be like eating anything else that's not kosher. Okay. If you're satisfied, we can leave it at this. No, not the daf. I'm saying we can leave this sugya at this. I mean, there are...
It feels like there was some curveballs that went by.
Yeah, okay, that's what I noticed. There was no tguvot, so I figured we'll leave it simple, and then if there's problems, we can discuss.
It's not a curveball, but it's a knuckler.
Something is... It's not clear. It's just not clear.
It's not that clear. It doesn't work with limited logic.
It doesn't?
No, not my limited logic.
So then maybe your limited logic is just too much for us. Why doesn't it work?
It's limited. And so I have to deal with
it. Oh, it's not the logic that's limited.
No,
you're saying it's the applicator.
Yes.
Oh.
So I have to spin it around a little bit.
I could join the government for that. They're excellent.
Yeah.
All right, our dear president, Hamudar Hana'ami Chaviro, Lo Yashilenu Velo Yishal Mimenu. This is rather stunning. Somebody who is Asur B'Hana'ah from his friend, so he's not allowed to be Mahanahim, he can't lend him things. Well, I understand that, but he can't borrow? He can't lend him money. He also can't borrow. He can't sell to him, and he can't buy from him. That's weird. I mean, look, the selling and the buying, we could say, is talking about a Zvina Mitzia, as we said before. It's a middle. In other words, everybody's happy, and it's not that easy to get rid of. It's not Rami Alape. It's not a Zvina Harifa. But in context, it's difficult to believe that that's the case. I mean, because the other two cases, lending and there's no way to say in English. You lend money and you lend things in English. In Hebrew, it's two totally different concepts. When you lend someone money, you are giving him something to use which he doesn't have to return. Therefore, you can't call it lending. He has to pay you back the value, but not the coins that you gave him. And if you lend him an item, which is called hashalah, it's give you back the item. Therefore, there's no comparison between those two things on any level. There's all kinds of different halachas with them. English, which is not careful about these things, uses the word as if it's the same, not to lend. So you cannot be shoel or mashiel lo vero malve, which makes it appear that the mechira is also one direction is the direction it should be us, or not the other direction. Right? So the direction that it should be over here apparently is maybe lo yikach limeno, just like the loyishah. We'll see. Well, it certainly does not appear to be saying that it's talking about a Zvino Mitzia, because otherwise, I mean, it doesn't match the other cases. There's some kind of weird thing going on with the other cases, which, of course, is the Gemara's immediate question. Bishlei Meloy Alvenu. I understand you can't lend him money because he's getting Hana'ah. Loyal Vehe Menu? You can't borrow money? What kind of Hana'ah is a guy getting when you borrow money from him? Maika Mahanila. Bishlema lo yalve heimenu velo yikak heimenu de komitanemine velo yishal heimenu maika mitanemine. I understand also that if we're talking about not to borrow from it, lo yikak mimenu, obviously must be talking about it something which I'm going to have anah to get, so it's something that's hard for me to get. But lo yishal heimenu, understand what exactly we're talking about over there? Lo yishal mimenu, I'm borrowing from him. In what case am I? It's just gonna be used, go down in value. I mean, it's certainly not helping the thing that I'm borrowing in any way. What could possibly be the meaning of that? You know, you could say maybe there's a switch around in the value of the money. Maybe I can give him poor coins, the Mefarish learns, get back better coins. But I mean, certainly I'm going to get back my coffee maker is not going to be in better shape after it's gathered some more minerals on it. So what exactly is the meaning of this? Look, it's got to be that the Mishnah is talking about kagon shenagu hana'ah zemizeh. That the Chiddush over here is that obviously they must have been usher on each other. I mean, otherwise it makes no sense. The Kiddush must be Vitur. To tell me once again that Vitur is also Bisurei Anon, and even though these are things that people are generally not makbid on, they lend them, but you can't do that. Abaya says, come on. I mean, we already established Vitur. The Kiddush over here is Gzeirah Lish'ol Mishum La'ashir. B'chein B'kula Gzeirah. Actually, it's only also in one direction. You're right. But the point over here is that since people are not thinking about that. In other words, let's say we answer your nechasim on somebody, right? So in such a case, says Beferish later on, the person who says, I'm Osir, he's not allowed to be Nena. Cheren, a lie, he can't be Nena, but the other guy can be Nena from him. There's no reason for us to think that if somebody sees him being Nena, that he'll think, oh, so I can be Nenna from him. I mean, you're the one who made the Nenna, that you're not going to be Nenna from him. That's ridiculous. But that's because everybody understands that the main point of an Isser is that I am not going to be Nenna from him while he can be Nenna from me. But when it comes to issues of Vitur, or things where I'm going to get the money back anyway, I'm getting this thing back anyway, or people aren't mocked that I'm doing this thing, or it's mutual, it's buying and selling, I mean, I'm paying for it, and so on and so forth, they don't realize that this falls under the heading of Isurei Hana'ah. Therefore, if we allow it to be done in one direction, even though obviously it's not logical to say, since he is borrowing money from me, I can borrow money from him, and it doesn't follow. But what happens is that in people's minds, oh, well, borrowing and lending is not part of the Isurei Hana'ah. All these mutual things where both sides go, that's not us, sir. Or elements of Vitor, that's not us. So over there, we make a gezeiros as a buyer. A gezera lishol mishum lahashia. If I'm going to allow you to borrow, you may lend. And you said he's aser b'hana'ah. I'm not allowed to lend. So memela, there's a big difference between the straight out isurim that you set out to create the cheren and the other cases where you don't. The question over here is, how does this affect the Mishnah that we said that if somebody asers himself on Kol Yisrael, that over there he can sell at a loss, or lower than the market price, and higher than the market price, and buy at lower than the market price, if anybody's dumb enough to, you know, do that for him. But which should be us here. You're telling me that mutually it's us here. So why don't we answer it? So the Rambam says the only case that we don't answer, in other words, we actually paskin like this, that we will answer things that have to do with Vitor, make them mutual. But since over there it's talking about a case where he had answered the entire Yisrael from himself, it doesn't make sense. I mean, we have to leave him some kind of out. In that case, We don't aser the mutual isurim. But in other cases, indeed, we would. But again, that's limited to things that people would make mistakes about, such as vitur areas, or anyway, it's mutual, such as buying and selling areas. Hamudar hanah mechaver olifnei shvi'it eno yored etoksadeo v'eno ochel mananotot. Mudar hanah abishvi'it eno yored etoksadeo aval ochelu min hanotot. Nodar emeno ma'achal lifnei shvi'it, there's no problem at all about yored etoksadeo, but eno ochel minaperot abishvi'it yored etoksadeo. Ravish bo de'am retavayu, nechassim elu alecha lifnei shvi'it eno yored etoksadeo v'eno ochel mananotot, afa pishigia shvi'it. And that indeed is the tirish. Ve'im b'shviyit nadar, ein yored etok sadeo, that's a chiddush. Aval ochel mananotot, which is not. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish d'amrei tavayu, nechasei alecha lifnei shviyit, ein yored etok sadeo, ein ochel mananotot, but the minute he gives shviyit, ein yored etok sadeo, aval ochel mananotot. So apparently they're arguing in the Mishnah. They know, come here, forget. Rav Shmuel Savre, Adam Oser, Davar Shebrishuto, Afilu lit kishiyet zimer shuto, whereas Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish is saying no. Once it's shvius, even though it was yours at the time, ein adam oser davar shebrishuto lit kishiyet zimer shuto. But your naive reading would be wrong, because look, I mean v'tizkraf. I mean mikel amad yomer ein adam oser davar shebrishuto lit kishiyet zimer shuto. I mean, first of all, im kein nitzlagim nechassim elu mikoshkin nechassai. The Kasai introduces a whole other issue. The Kasai introduces the question of whether you meant up front to only limit it to when something is your nechassim. So it wouldn't prove anything about the fundamental rule. Can you ask for something that's not Bershutcha? That's my first question. My second question is that it's not supportable by the Mishnah, the two. You definitely can ask for something. Tetzana Omer Lev, no. Konim shatan ne'aneli, mate Yerushenu. But if he says konim shatan ne'aneli b'chayav or b'moto, so then he made lo Yerushenu. Okay, that's true, but that's only because you said so. I mean, shani ha'ot go amale b'chayav or b'moto. Maybe the point in the Mishnah is, since you didn't say b'feirish bein lifnei shviit bein li'achar shviit, even though you said nechassim elu, it does not mean that these nechassim will remain also to you in Shvi'it. That would be the chiddush of the Mishnah in the Rish. Maybe. Says the Gemara, okay, but what about the first kasha? Mikomakom kasha, why say the case of nechassai? Must be that b'nechassim elu kula yamalo pligi. Ki pligi b'nechassai, that Rav and Shmuel are saying, loshna nechassim elu, loshna nechassai, adam oser, because Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is saying, no, if you say nechassim elu, then indeed adam oser. But if you say nechassai, ain't adam oser. Rabbi Rish Lakish thinks that Rav and Shmuel are saying that even nechassai would be oser. It's impossible. That's even where we have grounds to think that your focus isn't on the guy, but is on the building. Nonetheless, meito machro, since he identified it by your house, so then if he died or sold it to somebody else, machro lachar mutar. If he says the bayit zeshani nichnas, that is zeshani lokeach, meito machro lachar asur. Certainly, that's true when you're trying to answer your own things. That if you sold your car, it's not going to be also on the other guy. Rabbi Shmuel argue on the Mishnah. You're right. Let's change the whole thing. They're not even arguing. Actually, ki ami Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish ben Nechassai, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish just came to explain that you should not make the mistake of thinking that the Mishnah was trying to say that once something is usher, it remains forever usher. That's not the point. If you had said Nechassai, then it wouldn't have been usher. The case in the Mishnah is indeed, as Rav and Shmuel said, Nechassim Elu. Actually, Nechassai Elu is the gears of the round, which is even better. And the chiddush would be that even though you said nechassai, elu identifies it as being nechassim, not your own. V'lo pligi. U'bashvi'it en yored etok sadeo, and why is that? Ma'ishna do'chel menanotot. I mean, saying the Torah was mafkir the perot, and therefore you couldn't have asked it on him during Shemitah. So, I mean, why can't you go into the field? Omar Ula, because we're talking about the kind of trees that you don't need to go into the field. Ba'omdim ilanot al hagivulim. Rabbi Shimon ben Eliyakim, no. Even normal field, even trees in the middle of the field, you can't walk into the field. Why? Because Gzera Shema Yashheba Abida, since you don't have any heker, that's telling you, you're only here to pick fruit and not to have discussions or smoke cigarettes. How are you going to remember that? So we're chayshish, you'll be over on your net. Hamudar hana mechaviro lo yashi leno velo yishal mimeno lo yalveno velo yalveno mimeno lo yimkor lo velo yikach mimeno. So this shlema lo yalveno, obviously if you lend the guy money, you're being mahane. Borrowing money? How you can be mahane? Why come mahane? Bishlema lo yalveno mimeno, you want to say there's some kind of hana, lo yikach mimeno, some kind of hana. Because bitane minem, who could say that there's hana, maybe in those cases, but certainly, what kind of hana could you possibly be giving him, borrowing something and using it? Why come bitane minem? Omer, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, it's got to be talking about a case of a mutual neder, and obviously there's no chiddush other than the fact that vitur is also, that's all. So going shenadru anaz emizet. Now by Omer now, the chiddush is a very big chiddush, that gzeiralish ol mishum la'ashil, it's easy to think that elements of vitur should not be also. And therefore, we have to be gezer, that you don't get involved in that type of intercourse at all. There's no lending. There's no lending, there's no borrowing, there's none of that stuff. That's out of the question. V'chein b'kulu gzeir, the same thing is true about sales as well.